Blog Talk Radio.
Well, first thing is, everybody knows
In college football, it's better that you lose early than lose late. You understand what I'm saying? They run the table. Somebody in the SEC will probably have to win, have to lose two games. OU, Texas, they'll have to lose games. But I don't know, and I'm not sure of, but I don't think that OU and Texas have scared strength over USC. Of course, it's possible that they still make the BCS game, but they absolutely have to run the table. Can't lose another game. Can't be in the Pac-10 and lose another game. But, go ahead.
Do you think they're going to run the table?
It's possible. I don't see why not. Who's
that's
there?
Not what I'm asking. Now, how are we, anything's possible. I mean, you can fly to the moon for all we know, but do you think they're going to do it? That's the question I'm asking.
Do I think they'll run the table? Okay, yeah.
You think they're going to run the table? Okay. With national championship aside, you think they're going to run? You think they're going to win the rest of their games?
You just got to beat Oregon. They're not going to make the same mistakes they made against Stanford for the rest of the year. I guarantee you that.
Is that right? Okay. All right, Callie, Mike, do you want me to go first, or do you want to say your piece?
I mean, this is supposed to be objective football, so I'm going to go ahead and say mine, because no matter who goes next. What happened with that game was a lot of mistakes by USC. Not taking into it from Stanford. Stanford's a quality football team. I mean, they were a top 20 team before. I mean, it was a good football game. This wasn't a blowout. This wasn't, you know, one team dominating them. This was a hard-fought football game. You know, like I told Tex over the weekend, this was a head check. USC made too many mistakes. I haven't seen Matt Barkley make this many mistakes since his freshman year. And, you know, like I said, I mean, to me, like I said, if they win out, you know, they're gonna beat Oregon. Oregon's still a top-10 team. If they win out, beat Oregon, they're probably going to face, you know, Stanford's in the Pac-10 North, so they're going to face them again, whoever the champion, probably Stanford, in the Pac-10 championship. And it's very likely that could jump them back up into the number two spot behind, you know, if there is somebody undefeated, you know, which, you know, I don't know what the stats are on the last time there was an undefeated champion anyway, but, you know, like I said, I know last year Alabama went to the championship and won with one loss, didn't it?
Stanford.
So it's fair to say, you know, USC could do the same thing. I mean, like I say, it's all up in their hands. I mean, it wasn't, you know.
I'm sorry. Finish what you guys say. I got a question for you, Mike. Callie, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question is, do you think they're going to run the table? And callers, I'm going to get to you. We already got two callers on the line. I'm going to get to you, callers. No, but first, do you think they're going to run the table, Callie, Mike?
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, every team that they're about to play, they beat already. You know, like I said, they beat Oregon last year. And as much as people are on Oregon this year, to me, the Oregon last year was a better team. You know, they beat Oregon last year. They lost to Stanford last year, which, like I said, you know, that's a tough game. It was at Stanford. That crowd was raucous. You know, the Bay, it was crazy. You know, I mean, you know, I'm up here in the Bay. You know, it was crazy, man. You know, it was a tough game, and they just, you know, they didn't pull it out. But, you know, like I said, if they run the table, meet Stanford again in the Pac-12 championship, it's very highly likely they can make it back to the BCS game. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of possibilities, you know. But, I mean, to me, really, you know, like I said, it is what it is. They lost, so, you know. They lost the air of of invincibility that was around them, but you know, to me, like I said, you know, a lot of teams have done that, you know, and still, you know, came back and played the national championship game.
I say this though to Adam, Kelly, Mike, USC's gonna have to pop their collar this weekend because you know they got Cal this coming weekend, and you know I know that's a kind of a little rivalry. So Cal always plays
everybody.
Right,
everybody.
Well, hold on, I want to say my
rivalry against that city.
Cal is a program in decline. They'll beat Cal.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I got to say my piece here. Okay. First of all, you know, I'm going to be real, Mike. I got to be real with you, Kelly, Mike. I got to be real. I'm an analyst now. I got to be real. So I'm going to have to lay it heavy on y'all real quick. I know it's your boys. But I have to keep it real. And this is honest here. The problem is just this. USC, I don't know where to start, but I'm just going to start with what's coming up first in my mind. The problem is USC is a victim of overhype. The only thing they really have and is a good quarterback. They have a really good quarterback and two dynamic receivers, okay? Their core is not what it is, okay? They were getting blown off the ball by Stanford on both sets of offense and defense, okay? It wasn't the fact that they had a missing center. They were getting blown off the ball all across the offensive line with the tight ends and the blocks and the backs coming out the backfield. Silas Red, nah, that ain't it. He ain't cutting it. And I knew it. I knew when Lane Kiffin went to Beaver Valley and begged him, I'm going to go over that again, he begged Silas Red to come to.
Hold on. How do you know that he begged him? Were you
I'm
there?
Not you. Can I finish? I want to finish this. Hold up.
But were you there, though?
He went over
so
there.
Let's not start saying false stuff. You weren't there, so you don't know who begged anybody, right?
Whatever. Okay, he went over there. He went to Beaver Valley, wherever that Benson State is, and he went over
Happy
there to
Valley.
Get Silas Red. That already exposed USC and said they're not as good as we thought they were right there. That was a red flag, in my opinion, right there. Now, number two, the America underestimated, which now what I'm convinced is the second best conference in the country. That's the Pac-10. Okay, they underestimated, along with USC, how tough it would be to go through that schedule. That is not going to be an easy schedule. I don't think they're going to win all their Pac-10 games. I think they could.
How did
they
USC
have, they
underestimate
two,
that?
What'd you say?
How did USC underestimate that?
But how did USC underestimate every whole country? Okay, my point is the whole country. All right, maybe I overstated with USC underestimated them. The whole country
this whole
was like,
is
run through the Pac-10. They're going to run through the Pac-10. Come on, man. They're not going to run through the Pac-10. I said they might lose to Washington in Washington. Now we got Arizona that's really good. You got UCLA that's really good. Cal.
Because
they had an issue with,
with
Ohio State. They're not running the table in the Pac-10. Okay? The table in the Pac-10. I'm telling you that right
can
now.
Can I bring up one point?
What'd you say?
Can I bring up one point?
Bring your one point.
Yeah, you are a USC hater.
How am I a USC hater? They're not going to run at the table.
Every word you said has been, since we started, has been negative against USC. You're a USC hater.
No, hold on. We got callers here. The point I'm making is they're a year away. They're the Florida
State.
You're a USC hater. They're a year away. They're not going to run through the Pac-10 schedule. That's just the point I'm making. And it's
obviously clear. Do you like USC?
I'm not a fan of USC.
Yeah, you're not going.
I'm being an objective analyst. You can't tell me one thing I've said that's not as biased. It's the fact, flat out truth. I'm being an objective analyst. They are overrated, and they are not running through the Pac-10 schedule.
How are they overrated, Carville? How are they overrated? Because they lost to another good football team? Stanford was a BCS team last year. What did
they don't have Andrew Luck anymore. They are not. Stanford is not a top five team.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Hold on, let me get this straight. So
they are overrated
because they were ranked number two in the nation. A Pac-10 team can lose their quarterback and not be the same team, but LSU can lose their quarterback and be better.
Because LSU had a dominant defense. LSU has a dominant defense. They reload. USC is on probation. They are thin.
But like I said, you're not answering my question.
In terms of depth, okay?
Teams
how are you going to see?
Can lose their quarterback, even though they're a BCS team, and are not a good team, but another team can lose their quarterback and be better, right?
Because they're loaded.
LSU is loaded.
They have a top recruiting classes. USC is on probation. They don't have any depth. And also, it's clear you can see that, okay? Isn't that clear? You can see that they don't have any depth. They were getting blown off the ball in the offensive line. They don't have the reloading ability like LSU has right now. Okay? That's just the point I'm making. What's so unobjective about that?
Football team. You're not even making – did you even watch the game?
Yeah, of course I watched the game.
Because this was a back-and-forth football game. Now, you're acting like it was a blowout. I don't think you watched it.
I did watch it. This is not a back and forth football game. Hold on, we got to get to the call in a second.
I'll tell you, gentlemen. How at this after October? No, how is this after November 3rd? That's when they play Oregon.
All right, hold on. Let me. I got to get to the call real quick. I'm sorry. My computer's slow. But USC, they are not a year away. Hold on.
Cut the Alabama videos off your computer, it'll run faster. Cut the Alabama videos off the computer, it'll run faster.
Hold on, let me get the call here.
Quit watching
240
videos on YouTube.
240, CMC Firestorm. 240. Yes.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How y'all doing this evening? Yeah, this is right. This is
doing well.
Okay, yeah, y'all talking some college football, but I want to talk a little NFL if y'all don't mind.
Well, I mean, we got say your piece real quick.
Okay, just two topics. One, I want to talk about replacement refs. This is never really controversial, but my opinion, I think you're gonna start seeing all out fist fights then within 2 weeks, maybe even next week. The NFL does not get the regular refs back on the field. The games are getting chippy, too chippy, and the NFL always preaches safety, but I don't see how it's really incongruent to talk about player safety and you have replacement refs who really can't control the game. And speaking on player safety, it goes to my second point I want to talk about, which is how they're doing the New Orleans Saints with the body program. Now, just before disclosure, I'm not a Saints fan, but I just really hate the way that they're doing the Saints Football Club. I think that the NFL really needs to define hurt. I think they really need to define hurt. Even the Jonathan Vilma, they said that he gave, $10,000 for someone who will take out Brett Favre. But I don't really think they properly define hurt. If a player, comes in and goes at Favre's knees or, a lunge or shot at his head, okay, that's something that, someone is trying to hurt someone. But if someone comes in and just, puts a good solid hit, let's say they knock him out, knock the wind out of him. He goes out the game for a series of two. That's totally legal. I know how the appearance of a bounty looks. It looks as if you're trying to hurt someone. But just because you're trying to hurt someone, that doesn't necessarily mean you're trying to end their career. And I think that unless they can find. And the best thing to do is go back and look at the game tape. If they can't see where, they were going at Favre's or any other quarterback's knees or at his head or, doing some intentionally late hits or something, I don't see how they can, suspend these guys for just coming in, in laying wood and hitting, quarterback or running back or whatever the case may be. I just think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
One thing I could say I've been noticing about these about the replacement referees is that, for one, besides the botched calls, there's also, in my opinion, and I think I saw it on a show earlier, there's been a lack of respect. The coaches don't respect these referees because they know they're out there blowing calls, and the players don't respect the refs. I've never seen so much arguing going on with between coach. Like I said, when the regular refs is out there, the coaches know how far they can take the argument. But now you got coaches getting in refs' faces, player. It's creating a larger mess than I think they originally thought. And
exactly.
And especially I guess like you said with the league trying to focus on player safety. This is to me this is another black eye. Going to Roger Goodell. Now about the bounty gate thing. I've been thinking about this thing and it's like. Okay, like a bounty program in college, like how they say what was going on in Miami or whatever, that basically it wasn't even that it was about a bounty. It was because it was pay to play. But it's like, to me, these guys are already being paid. They're saying it's, performance for hitting. So, I mean, like I said, to me, there's nothing wrong with that. That's like me, if I'm on a baseball team and I play, and I pay one of my teammates, I'm gonna give you $500 for every home run you hit. Like I said, they weren't, unless they can prove intention of harming the other players, I really don't see, what the big deal about this is. I mean, it goes on different levels, different sports. When you was in high school, you used to get the big hit, you used to get the sticker put on your helmet, which is a reward for making a big play, and now it's just, like I said, it's just a different level.
I also going to add this about the rest. I was listening to the Monday Night Football game on the radio. I heard it was a couple of fractures that went out through the game. And I heard Ray Edwards from the Falcons took a swing at one of the players. And I know Boomer Esiason and Kevin Harlow were saying they were surprised that he didn't get ejected out of the game. Should have been thrown out. And he threw a punch. Mm-hmm. And they were saying about the refs, like, yeah, they missed that one. Another And that was on Monday Night Football, so they were saying maybe, you know, another black guy for the replacement refs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hold on.
Wow.
Thank you, bro. We got to put you on hold, man. We got to go to the next caller here.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. 850.
All right. We're talking about where you first opened the show here with USC and the problems they had. Well,
yeah.
Two quick points. One in the game, and then the Pac-12 conference in general. Number one, the thing that we pointed out about USC, even though we most of us favored them to reach the national championship game, the biggest question that we had for that team was depth on both sides of the ball. And I think in that Stanford game, it pretty much showed big time, especially on defense and the defensive front. When you saw Stephen Taylor pretty much getting 3 or 4 yards, you know, pretty much like every time he carried the ball, you saw Stanford's offensive line just pretty much hitting the defensive line. And when you have depth as an issue, you're going to have gas players playing for your defensive line on the third and fourth quarters. So that's going to be really key when you got to stop them for a third down and get them off the field. Also, you also had their problem of moving the ball on offense. I mean, you got to be able to run, and you didn't see the USC running backs doing that against Stanford's defense. So you got to have some type of balance. You can't be throwing screens and draws and things like that. You see what I mean? And even though both of them got hurt, you still got to have that depth. Otherwise, you're going to have to use, you know, your receivers to run the ball in. That may Stanford pin their ears back and then go after the quarterback.
They got blown off the ball, man. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to harp on USC. I'm just saying they got blown off the ball.
I agree with that. But you also gotta understand, you're gonna be getting blown off the ball time after time if you're tired too. I mean, compare this game to the Florida-Tennessee game. Florida-Tennessee game, the thing that the commentators pointed out about Florida was what they were going to do was rotate their defensive guys in the second and third quarter so that by the time the fourth quarter came back, their starting defensive ends and defensive tackles would be fresh and rest quarterback. USC really couldn't do that. See what I mean?
Right.
You're going to need that. You're going to have to rely on that in order to, you know, actually get back into the game, especially when you got to stop them on third down, on fourth down. When you could rush the quarterback instead of having him, like, you know, go out to the left or the right and then find the tight end for a 10 or 15 yard gain for a first down.
Well, look, I don't know, maybe we were watching a different versions of the game. Like I said, you know, the depth did come into play. To me, the depth just came into play because Khalil Holmes wasn't in the game. You know, like I said, you lose your starting center for 3 years, that's going to affect your line no matter what nobody says. Especially, you know, when he's All-American number one rated center in the country. I saw a long run by Stephon Taylor that broke the game open. I saw a lot of missed tackles by him and broken tackles. I didn't see big holes or, you know, like I say, I saw some, but like I say, no one team was dominating the other. Like I said, I don't know which game you guys were watching, you know, but I didn't see any one team dominating the other. I saw a quarterback from Stanford who threw under 50% and threw two picks. And to me, the only reason that the game was that much different was because Matt Barkley had zero touchdowns. SC only ran the ball 20 times, so they were able to load up and go after Matt Barkley. It's not like the running game was not, you know, wasn't you know, they ran the ball 30 times and only got 50 yards. They only ran the ball 20 times. You know, Silas ran the ball about 10 times, and he still had two touchdowns.
Nobody's saying that they got ran, they got dominated or anything like that.
If you play football, football is controlled by a line of scrimmage. So if you're telling me that a team is blowing another team off the ball, to me that's saying
they got blown off the ball in the line of scrimmage.
When you blow a team off the ball, you're dominating that other team. Anybody who's played football would tell you that.
Hello?
I just looking at it from that standpoint, whatever, the way you want, whatever lens you want to look at it from.
I want to hear other people's point of view of it, but I, like I said, I understand when you blow somebody off the ball, that means you're enforcing your will on that other team. And Stanford was not
doing
that.
Well, I mean, they got blown off the line of scrimmage. Whatever. Text, what you got to say?
I didn't, I thought the last drive is in Stanford really, you know, it was, I mean, we can't act like, I mean, is USC really overrated? I mean, they are deep on offense. They just, you know, they're 0-4 versus Stanford now. Okay, so what does that tell you? That Stanford might have a number a little bit. Does that necessarily mean that they won't go on and beat everybody else they play? I mean, it doesn't mean that. I mean, they still gotta go play. But again, 0-4 versus Stanford. Sometimes that's just the way it works. You know, it wasn't a gimme game where you're going to Palo Alto or wherever it is. And you're just going to win. You got to go play. And if you go play and you play well, you win. It's not they got dominated and this and that, and they got blown off the ball. The running back made some pretty good runs, okay? He was showing some shiftiness. He was doing a lot of different things. So as I look at it, as I looked at the game, I didn't see the O-line just tear USC apart. I saw the running back make plays. That's what I saw. I saw USC making mistakes. I mean, just uncharacteristic mistakes. I mean, I didn't know what was wrong with Barkley. He doesn't make those throws. He was done with that after his sophomore year. That's not taking anything away from Stanford, because if they don't have that running back, they probably don't win that game. Now, let's just be honest about that. But, you know,
USC will be fine. Hey. You know, all right, I'm gonna leave it at there, and I'm gonna finish. Sometimes we're gonna address this in our 2-minute sessions, because I don't think they're winning the rest of their games, and I mean, I think they're gonna win a lot of their games. I don't think they're no. They're gonna find out that the Pac-10 is gonna be a lot harder than they thought. I think they're coming to see that now, but. I mean,
how would they find that out? Because they play there. You're finding that out because you don't watch Pac-10 games.
We're gonna address this later. Hey, James. All right. The next topic is the Florida Gators. Okay, they had a very impressive second quarter comeback. Second quarter performance against the Tennessee Volunteers on the road. And this is the second time they've done this. They did the same something similar the week before. At Aggieland in Texas A&M. So my question is, are the Florida Gators back? Tex, what do you have to say?
No, I'm not going to say they're back. I'm going to say they are an ascending ball club. I'm going to say, like I said last week, they keep getting better. They show signs of getting better. I still think they're a year or two away, but definitely an ascending ball club.
Okay. Callie Mike, what you got to say?
I agree with Texas. The Gators, they're gonna, you know, like I say, any major team from the state of Florida is gonna have talent. It just, you know, it all comes together, you know, for them to be putting it all together, you know, and like I said, they got a young quarterback, you know, they got the talent. It's just, you know, I mean, it ain't like they were ever talentless. You know, to me, that's the main thing about college football is keeping your talent level high. You know, and as long as you can do that, everything else will come together, you know, over time. And I think, you know, like I say, you get a Gator sign, they'll come together. I was surprised at this win, though, because, you know, they had a couple of injuries that I was looking at. I know a couple of their linebackers were injured. But, you know, like I say, I mean, more power to them. I didn't have them to win this game, but, you know, they came out and put in work.
All right. Shotown, what you say?
Well, Clausell, you finally getting on Florida's props and saying, yeah, you think they're back doing this and that. You've been kind of doubting about much, champ, but I was saying I think they're headed in the right direction, and now you're going to finally get, you know, will much champ his due? But, hey, it's
that's
only
– you're asking me?
Yeah, I'm saying now this being sarcastic with it in a way. But, yeah, like I was saying, man, hey, I think he's a coach for that team. So, I mean, I did, you know, I know most of us, I know last week did pick Tennessee. I mean, I don't know. I know I picked Tennessee, you know, against beating Florida. But, I mean, they came back. And that quarterback we've been talking about, like I was saying, yeah, he's still young. He showed some improvement, though. I mean, it was a big win for him on the road. You know, but I think they headed in the right direction. Definitely, you know, and I was hearing that they definitely going to be getting, of course, some recruits coming in for next year. They were talking
I'm
about
not
going to
say
that.
I'm not going to say Florida is back, but, you know, I mean, the thing is they keep, you know, adding to what they're trying to build on every single week. You have talent, like Mike said, you got a chance to go beat people. As long as you keep getting better, you accept coaching, and you go ahead.
Okay, well, this is my thing. This is an interesting situation, and a lot of people don't. I think this is a very interesting team because this weekend they have Kentucky. Obviously, they're going to blow them out, but then 2 weeks later they got LSU coming in the swamp. You know, both teams will be undefeated, obviously. And I would not be surprised if UF beats them in the swamp. And if they beat LSU in the swamp, you know, I think they will do that too. On top of that, not because they're a better team than LSU, it's because of the home field advantage. But then they have Vanderbilt, then South Carolina comes to the swamp. So they have every tough game in the swamp, except for, you know, they play Georgia in the cocktail party in Jacksonville. But they have every tough team they play in the swamp, and you have a defense like that, and you got a running game like that, and a quarterback that's ascending the way he's ascending right now. I mean, you got a chance. They can run the table on all their games until they get to Florida State, which I think they will lose that game. So you have an interesting dynamic. Now, what I mean is, are they back in a sense of, are they top five? I probably would have to say no. But are they top 10? Are they top 10?
Borderline.
You might have to put them in there a little bit. You say no?
I say borderline.
Yeah, exactly. They're right now, they're borderline top 10 right now. And I think by the time I predict
I wouldn't even put
LSU
them
in the swamp.
I wouldn't even put them
in
the top 10.
Man. It's the third game of the season.
But what I'm saying is they have all their tough games at home. So by the time they get to Florida State, they could be undefeated. And if they're undefeated, they're obviously going to be a top-five team. So, you know, that could be a very interesting matchup if they have to play LSU or Alabama again in the SEC championship game. So,
I guess my answer would be
closer to yes than no. I can't say yes, but I can't really say no, they're not back. I have to say they're going to be very. This is a very interesting situation here, and I'm going to keep track on that. I want to hear what someone else's opinion is. 240. Are you there, CMT Firestorm?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's not there. So 850.
All right. As far as Florida being back, I would say no. They're probably like a couple years away. I am impressed with their offensive line and the running back Gillislee. I think it's really good back. But they still have Georgia and South Carolina in their division for one. And in reference to this season, the LSU game is going to be make or break for them because the last time they had a big game at the Swamp was against Alabama, and Alabama kind of demoralized them, and that pretty much dictated the rest of their season. So they got to watch out for that game and make sure that they'll at least be able to keep it close. I don't think they'll beat LSU, but at least they got to keep it close so that, you know, they'll have some type of motivation for the rest of the season. Now, as far as, like, being the best in the division, no. I still favor Georgia and South Carolina over them right now, but I think they're still like a couple of years away from being the best in their division.
Wow, you say a couple years. Wow. So hold on. Here's the first question I'm going to ask everybody. I already got your answer, James. Jamal, do you think they can beat LSU when LSU comes to the Swamp?
If I had to pick a team.
Do you think they will beat LSU?
This is 2 weeks down the line.
Yeah, 2 weeks down the line. LSU comes to the Swamp.
I don't think I'm taking Florida to beat LSU. You know, LSU goes into Tuscaloosa and win last year. They can go into the Swamp and win.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
Like I said, that's a tough one, too. I mean, LSU, you know, they're a good team. I wouldn't pick that game, but like I said, the South Carolina and Georgia game, I might favor Florida in those two games, but I think LSU might go to the Swamp and take them out.
Well, I guess I'm the only one. I'm predicting that Florida's going to beat LSU in the Swamp. I got that prediction because I got Florida beating LSU in the Swamp. And the reason I got them beating the LSU in the Swamp is because when you have a defense that plays like that, and then you have a quarterback that is kind of mobile, and you got a running game, I know you can't run all against LSU, but then you got the quarterback element. We got the quarterback, you know, he's starting to be more efficient as a passer. You got that home field advantage. I got Florida beating them in the Swamp. And I think that's going to propel UF to the game against Florida State.
Claude,
yes.
Jeff Driscoll? I mean, whatever LSU has on offense, do you like LSU's four-headed running back attack against the Gators defense, or do you like Driscoll versus LSU's defense? Basically,
that neutralizes it. That's neutralizing because Florida's defense is very good, so they're going to take out LSU's four-headed running game. That neutralizes it. And obviously, Driscoll will not be able to do much against LSU's defense. That's neutral. So it boils down to big plays. It boils down to big plays.
LSU?
You've got to ask me about what I think.
I'm sorry, Mike. Shotgun, what do you think?
Yeah, right now, even though it's a couple weeks away, I'm going to stay firm with it. I mean, the boys is making, you know, they're young. Like you said, I don't think, you know, they improved, but not there yet. But I like LSU in that one as well to beat Florida.
All right. Well,
Driscoll not ready yet. He's young, but he's not ready. LSU defense, man, like they were saying, it's going to be pretty tough, man. It's going to be pretty tough. If Florida has a chance of winning that game, he's going to have to play his best game of his life.
Well, my thing is, like I said, and I'm pretty sure Jamal gave that good analogy. You got LSU's four-headed running attack against Florida's defense. Pretty good. Florida has emerged, one of the top five SEC defenses. I think that's fair to say. I think that's legitimate to say. They are they're probably all number five in terms of SEC defenses. So then you got the four-headed running attack at U.S. defense, and then you compare Driscoll against LSU's defense, and that neutralizes, in my opinion, because you can't just put Driscoll against that defense. You have to put Driscoll and Gillespie, the SEC's leading rusher, against that defense. So you got to put those two in the combination. That neutralizes it, and then so what goes down? It's going to happen big plays. And then when the big plays come to play, the home field advantage will handle that. That's my opinion. So that's why I'm going to edge U.S. in this game. But, hey, we'll see what happens. So, all right, James, I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to go to the next topic here. Next topic is Florida State. Florida State versus Clemson. What do you think is going to happen? Florida State has been on a roll these past 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, they have only allowed 3 points. So do you think they can do something, not necessarily something similar, but do you think they can beat Clemson by like 20, 25 points? I'm going to start with you, Mike. Cali Mike.
I mean, anything is possible. I really don't know what Florida State is going to do this year. They played, you know, Savannah State, Murray State, I mean, Wake Forest, who's not good. You know, I mean, Clemson's all right, but, you know, I think Clemson got 70 put on them in the BCS last year, didn't they? So I can't really go by what Clemson gonna do. I mean, like I say, it looks like Florida State might coast all the way through the schedule unless somebody steps up to stop them. Tell you the truth. So I mean, I can't, you know, unless they get to VTech and, you know, and VTech flicking on them. But I mean, I can't really gauge it. They're playing this. I don't want to take anything away from FSU because they have a strong team. But this schedule is just vanilla. Not even vanilla. It's flavorless. You know, this is flavorless. Yeah. This is peppermint. You know, I can't believe it. I mean, you got, like I said, Murray State, Savannah State, South Florida, Duke. You know, come on.
Their toughest game is supposed to be at Virginia Tech. But based on what we've seen from Virginia Tech, that might not even be a tough game. And then they have Florida at the end of the year in Tallahassee. So, you know, they could clearly run the table. But I think this game will sort of give us an indication of how good they are. Hold on, I want to go to you, Tex. What you think?
The key to the game is going to be Sammy Watkins. Florida State, if they stop Sammy Watkins, then they'll win the game. You remember Watkins tore them up last year, and only his fourth game as a college player. I'd probably have to take Florida State just in Doak Campbell. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's that whole city gonna be nuts. The stadium is gonna be nuts, and yeah, they've played. Who would they play? Murray State and who else? Savannah State? Murray State.
Wait for
somebody. I don't know.
Murray State. Yep.
Okay.
But
State.
What's up?
It's the way in which they beat them. They only allowed 3 points the whole year. So it's not necessarily the scrubs that they played. It's just the manner in which they demolished these scrubs.
You demolishing scrubs like Class A scrub, Class B scrub, Class D scrub is what they had demolished. So I understand that's
like they're playing like Georgia Southern or something like, you know, a top D1AA school. These are, you know, like I say, Savannah State. I don't even know where that. I mean, you're Georgia, I guess, but you know, I was about to say, I don't even know where that is. But you know, I mean, come on, man. Let's not put too much behind them.
I mean, they beat Wake Forest pretty bad. So
yeah, 52.
I mean, if it was on the basketball court, I agree with you. But this is unfortunately on the football field, so that doesn't hold much weight either.
All right, Rashad Town, you got something to say real quick?
It's gonna be interesting to see, you know, what they do, you know, Clemson at home. Y'all might say I'll be wilding, but if they take care of business against Clemson, the game I'll be looking forward to, even though it might have lost some lust, but hey, we all know it's still a rivalry. And to me, it could be their toughest game because they're going to be on the road. We're going to see what they're going to do against them boys from Miami on October 20th.
Miami, are you kidding me?
What?
Right, whatever. If that's how you feel.
Hey, it's a rivalry, man. Throughout the records. Throughout the records, man. Throughout the records. It's a rivalry, though, man.
All right, whatever, man. All right. I want to hear from the caller here. 850.
Let's see. Primetime game. I'm favoring Florida State in this one. But the thing about this game is it's pretty much the spotlight game for the Atlantic Coast Conference because other than those two teams, the rest of the conference has really been bad this year. I think they've been the worst conference among the six major conferences out there. So it's like after you have Florida State and Clemson, it's a serious drop-off before the next team unless Virginia Tech cleans up their act. So, but as far as them, like, blowing them up by 20 points or so, I'm not sure about that. I'd probably give them two touchdowns on Clemson, but after that, Florida State pretty much has a smooth sailing until the last game of the season.
So you think the ACC is worse than the Big Ten?
Yes. I think they're worse than the Big Ten. I mean, put it this way. Around the networks, you know, the ESPN, the Fox Sports and everything, they keep saying among the Big Six conferences that the worst one is the Big East, right? But this past week, the Big East went undefeated against the ACC. And over the course of this BCS era, the Big East has had a better BCS record than the ACC does. So my thing is, I mean, if you can't beat Pittsburgh, if Virginia Tech couldn't beat Pittsburgh, who lost to FCS school, they lost to Youngstown State, and then they turn around and beat Virginia Tech, what does that tell you about that conference?
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, good point on that.
I mean, the only close game was that Louisville-North Carolina game, and North Carolina had to score a whole bunch of points to come back in that game. So that tells you about the ACC, top to bottom, is not as good as people say they are.
Well, I don't know. I have to put them on the same level. Florida. The thing about the ACC, though, at that Florida State, that's a big Florida State and Clemson. Those are two big fishes in the pond right now. Well, I mean, I don't know if Clemson's a big fish in the pond. I really can't say Clemson's a big fish, but Florida State right now is a big fish in that pond right now. So,
the thing about it is Florida State's Florida State. You know, I mean, they're always going to put Florida State on the pedestal like they are. I mean, the thing about it is if you had West Virginia still in the Big East, guess what? Florida State would have probably played West Virginia instead of Savannah State. And who knows what would have happened in that game. You know what I mean? So you would have had another Big East versus ACC battle right then and there to see if the ACC is pretty much proven to be better than the Big East, at least this season. Now you got the rest of those teams there. You had Duke, Wake Forest, NC State, North Carolina, Miami. I mean, it's not like, you know, Miami's Miami. The last two were talking about watch out for that game October 20th against Miami and Florida State. Well, USF has pretty much split against Miami the past 4 years, and none of those teams have won a game at home yet once that series started. So it's not like we're talking about ACC is really that good in comparison to the Big East Conference talk about.
Yeah, true about South Florida. I forgot about that, too. That's another test for Florida State.
Well, any opinions on that, y'all, guys? Mike?
Like I said, I like certain teams from the Big East. I watch Louisville, man. They got a squad, man. To me, pretty much, I'm thinking Randy Shannon should have been the coach of Miami. You know, because pretty much he brought all the Miami players just with him in Louisville, and they put it on the clinic. Teddy Bridgewater is like RG3. You know, the kid got, I think he only had like 10 incompletions the whole year. You know, they're cruising right now, man. So, you know, the Big East does have talent. The ACC ain't looking that good. I don't know how good the guy has had me. So, I have to see.
All right. Well, let's go to the next topic here. We're going real good here. Put you back on hold. Tyler Wilson. We all saw the what happened Arkansas versus Alabama on this past Saturday. And Tyler Wilson had made some statements calling out his teammates, saying, you know, he feels bad that they all gave up or whatnot. Do you think Tyler Wilson was in place on doing that? Do you think he was out of place by doing that? I want to know what your opinion is. Shottown, what do you think?
But that, I guess, when you call your teammates, sometimes I should just, you know what I'm saying, stay in the house, because, you know what I mean, on the media, you don't want the media to know what's going on. But, hey, the hungry guy was very frustrated with how they lost and how they played. So, but, you know, it was one of those things. You know what I'm saying, you win as a team and you lose as a team.
Callie, Mike, what do you think?
I'm surprised that's Mike from Chi-Town.
same, seeing as what his quarterback did this weekend, this past weekend. But anyway, we're talking about it.
We're going to get to that new second half.
Talking about this Charlie Wilson, I mean, I totally agree, man. That team gave up. Like, you know, like I said before, he plays quarterback. He don't play defense. So there's no reason Louisiana Monroe should have put those points on there. I think they came back and lost to a garbage team this week too, I believe. So, you know, to me, I don't have, to me, if you don't want him to say it, do the opposite of what he's saying you did. Go out there and kick some butt. Until then, you know, to the winner goes the spoils. If you can, you know, if you can talk it and back it up, then, you know, that's it. If you can't, then, you know, play better, you know, or give up. And, like I said, this last game, they gave up. So, you know, not much to it. They looked really bad.
The rolling tide, baby. They 52 to nothing.
All
right. Yeah, it has to do with Alabama too, but still, I mean, you know, play ball. I mean, this is a team that beat Bama last year, so, you know.
Yeah, they get beat like that at home too. Wow, you know, like.
Even minus Tyler Wilson, you're in Fayetteville, you get blown out 52-0. Guys on a plane. You know, that's no effort. That's no heart. You know, it's and while Bama is good, it's not like Trent Richardson was there and Dante Hightower and Menzie and Kirkpatrick and everybody else they had. I mean, it's not like those guys are there and they're going into Fayetteville and beating Arkansas 52-0. So, you know,
the least Arkansas could have done was start a fight. At least they could have started a fight at the end of the game. Show them they were mad. They didn't even look mad. That was ugly.
Well,
I'd have had to kick Eddie Lacy in his knee or something.
let me see my piece here. I think he was out of line for doing that. But, I mean, hey, I mean, Arkansas came to the field scared. I mean, you could tell by the kickoff they were scared, and I mean I understand. I just want to slightly respond to what Texas said. It's not like they had Trent Richardson, Kirkpatrick, and them. My point is Alabama may not have a better defense, a team defense as they did last year, but they have more NFL talent on their team right now than they did last year, and there were six players drafted in the first round. And this defense has more NFL ready talent right now. They do.
Close to.
Last
no,
year.
It doesn't.
Okay.
Just about to
we don't want
to
go ahead.
The thing, please.
Close air. You're taking it out of context, though. What I'm saying is, Alabama doesn't have the four or five, six, whatever first rounders they had on defense alone, plus the best running back in the nation. You see what I'm saying? Going to Fayetteville. Now, nobody's debating that they still have talent. I'm just saying they don't have those veteran guys there where they can go somewhere this year and probably, you know, if those guys were still there, then Bama would be the favorite to win it all by a long shot, probably. But what I'm saying is you don't have those guys, and you're on the road. Arkansas should have put up a fight. Nobody fought. You know, they had no bar fighters. Nobody was fighting at the bar, so. They quit.
And this is where we disagree. I understand what you're saying. There was a lot of good players on the defense last year, but I'm saying the group of guys that Alabama has now on their defense, there's more NFL talent on this defense. They may not be a better team defense. You understand what I mean? They may not play better as a team as of yet, but there's more NFL talent on the defense. First round.
How do you know that?
Talent.
They haven't gotten drafted yet. Nobody from the team is on the NFL. So how do you know that?
Well, look at Mel Kiper. There's more NFL projected talent on this team right now. There's tons of five-star parade All-Americans on the defense right now.
There's five-star All-Americans on everybody's team. They don't go to the pros.
What'd you say?
I said there's five-star All-Americans on everybody's team. How do you know that? We're blowing this team up. We weren't even talking about Alabama. We're talking about Arkansas.
Whatever, man. Let me finish, Mike, all right? And we're going to get to this, all right? But
point
is,
no.
They came scared. Let me finish. They came scared. Okay. So they he was out of line for doing that. All right. You interrupt me, make me lose my point. Let me get to the caller, 850.
Hey, y'all should know better than to get Clarzell started on the Alabama team.
Yeah.
All right, we talk about Arkansas right here, and the thing about it is, even though Tyler Wilson was out of line with his little Jay Cutler impersonation, I'd say Arkansas did quit. They should have at least had a chance to score at least one touchdown or two touchdowns, especially in the first half. I mean, by the midway point of that first half, they were like only up, 10-0, and they could have had a chance then. But after that, and then they got Alabama got their two touchdowns to close the half off, be up 24-0. It was pretty much downhill from there. So I do think that they gave up on that game, but quarterback can't really call their other players out on that. I think that was wrong.
What y'all got to say about that?
I mean, it's when we're sitting back watching the television, we couldn't tell that they just gave up. Why is it so bad that the leader of the football team calls his teammates out? I don't get it. If we all saw it, I mean, you know, and he says it, I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah, me neither. I think there's too much about it. He said it. It's like Tech said it. We've seen it. I mean, he said it. Everybody's saying it. So, I mean, what's the deal? Like I said, I would have been so happy if somebody would have just, like, ran at the end of the game and jumped, like, tackled Saban, because at least that would have showed me they had some fight in them, you know, or they wanted to cause a little bit of trouble. But just to let them come to your town and do that to you, they did them boys dirty. That was, you know, like I said, who knows what's going to happen with Arkansas now. Maybe, you know, like I said, maybe them losing their coach, you know, was a bigger hit than everybody thought. As you know, that, like I said, I don't know if people would factor that into this year too, but maybe that could be a bigger hit than people thought.
Like I was saying from the start with how everybody was, you know, ranking Arkansas, I was saying they really was going to miss Bobby Petrino. So, I mean, yeah, to get beat like that, I mean, that's terrible. But like I said, I didn't expect big things from Arkansas this year after just losing their coach, Petrino. Like that, you know.
Yeah, it looks like you were right about that. All right, let's go to our last topic on college football. Put you back on hold. Who are your top five teams in the country right now? Let's start with you, Tex. What do you have to say?
Well, I you might disagree, Clausel, but I still say LSU is the top team.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know. I still say LSU's top team in the nation. I got to go Alabama, too. Number three. I'm leaning towards Oregon. I think it might be more of a tie between Oregon and Florida State. But it's basically a tied three, but that's three and four. And five, I'm going to say West Virginia. I'm not impressed with OU. I think Georgia and South Carolina is good. They're not top five teams. Stanford's not a top five team even after beating USC. And I still think USC is a top six or seven team. But I probably have to say West Virginia at five.
All right, man. Do you want to go Cali Mike or you
want to
go last?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go now. I got Alabama number one. Then I got LSU, followed by Oregon, followed by FSU. And my number five team, I don't know, West Virginia is looking very good. It would have to be, it had to be between West Virginia and Georgia. West Virginia is looking good, though. Geno Smith, he's tossing that rock really good this year. He might be in the front runner for the Heisman right now. You know, he's topping that thing. So, like I said, West Virginia's looking good. But either them or Georgia, I'm kind of split.
All right. Shottown, who you got?
Well, I'm going with finally getting Bama. they chance. I'm going to stick with them as being number one. You know, they doing what they doing. Number two, for right now, I would say LSU number two, but still, when it comes down to it, still, we'll see what the quarterback does toward the end. Number three, I'm going to give Oregon their props, you know, from the Pac-10, so I got them as number three. Number four, I'm going to give Oklahoma a shot. Their quarterback, Landry Jones, you know, got to have somebody in the Big 12. Number five, I'm kind of split between two teams, too. You know, like I said, I was all on about Geno Smith, and, you know, I've seen what the West Virginia is doing in the Big 12. So I say between, for the five spot, I say between, you know, West Virginia and Georgia. And my sleeper team right now, which wouldn't surprise me if they crack in the top five, what they're doing right now, they might gonna probably get in Puff, even though they are ranked up there. I'll probably say right there of putting Florida State.
All right, this is my top five. Obviously, number one's Alabama. I mean, like, I think they're the closest thing right now. I mean, obviously it's too soon, but I think they're the closest. I know you're going to laugh at this. They're the closest thing to 2001 Miami Hurricanes. They have no weakness. They have no weakness. You can't name one ailing weakness on their team. They have passing game. They have running game. They have defense. They have special teams. I mean, they have.
You do realize Andre Johnson played for 2001 in Miami, right?
Yeah, I do. We got Amari Cooper. He's going to replace. He's another.
He's as good as Andre Johnson. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. No, don't go that far. Don't you go that far? No, don't.
You're saying that. You're comparing them to this team, so you're saying that.
Clausia, how many Ed Reeds do Alabama have? How many Ed Reeds and Sean Taylors do they have?
What'd you say?
How many Ed Reeds and Sean Taylors do they have, Alabama, right
now? They got some. Hey,
oh, yeah?
They had Mark Barron last year.
No.
Yeah, come on.
Let me finish.
No.
You see the Samori guy that played for Alabama? That guy can ball.
Mark Barron, one-dimensional in the box.
Let me finish, okay? Like I said, I think right now Alabama is the closest thing. I didn't say they were just as good as 2001 Miami. They're the closest thing right now to the 2001 Miami Hurricanes.
Not even close.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I didn't say they were better. Okay, all right, whatever. They're the closest thing out of the BCS teams right now because they have no weakness.
What does that mean, though?
Number two.
I don't.
Oh, let me finish. Can I finish? Number two.
They close, but they 2,000 miles away.
Exactly.
Number two. Florida State. That defense. You just gotta. When you got a defense that plays like that, only allowing 3 points. I understand it's scrubs, but I mean, it's just unreal what that defense is doing right now. Number three, LSU. The reason I got them at number three, and they're not at number two, is they're just feeding off of what Alabama's doing. LSU and Alabama are feeding off each other. Alabama blew out Arkansas by 55 points, so LSU had to blow up 63 points against Idaho. That's the only reason they put up 63 points is because Alabama put up 55 points. They were more concerned about what Alabama's doing. That's why.
Really?
So they're basically tailing behind Alabama. Number four, I have Oregon. I mean, when you got an offense that runs like that, a quarterback that's efficient like that, DeAnthony Thomas, he's balling. Number five, a sleeper. They have too much talent. I'm not saying they're winning a national championship, but they got too much talent on there. So you have to put them on the top five. That's Oklahoma. So those are my top five right there. Let me get a caller here. 850.
All right. We're going to go through the top five and then go on Carlisle's point of Alabama. First, number one, you have Alabama. For the first few weeks, they've been the most impressive team in the country. Number two is LSU. Their defense in the running game is pretty much got them up there to the point that they are at now. Number three, I'm going with Oregon. They have the most impressive offense out of the top five that we're going to put up there. So number three is Oregon. Number four is Florida State. I wouldn't put them number two or number three. They've been playing scrubs, and Other guy was talking about Class A scrubs and Class B scrubs. Scrubs are scrubs no matter what class they attend, so they're still scrubs. All right, so Florida State, I would say, is number four. And at number five, I'm putting West Virginia there. They're like the second most impressive offensive team next to Oregon. And Claus Hill's point about Alabama, I kind of see it in reference to their era, not as far as the current team, but as far as the era that Alabama has. You could compare them to the Miami teams of the early 2000s and the USC teams that were right after that. So I kind of see the point, but you're kind of reaching as far as, like, this team right now. We don't know yet. We don't know yet with this team.
Yeah, because they do have to go to the Death Valley in November. That's a big game. So if they can dominate that game, then you have to put them in the conversation.
Hold on though. Yeah. I do have one wish for that game though. If it's number one against number two, please don't let it be another snoozer game like it was last year and 5 years ago. That's all I want.
Don't let it be like a what?
A snoozer, like a 6-3 or a 7-6 or something like that. I can't take those games, man. I'm sorry, Claus Hill, but
I
would have went to sleep behind y'all, dog. Y'all ain't did sleep.
That was
I would have went to sleep on that game.
I don't know. That was the most intense 6-3 game I've ever seen, man. I mean, that was a...
That was one of the lowest championship games of all time.
Man, you were about the only one talking that whole time in that whole game, man. You were talking about Alabama players, man. Me and David were pretty much half asleep.
You talking about the 21-0 game?
No, not the 21-0 game. I ain't even watched that game. I'm talking about the
first game. 6-3 game. Okay, the 6-3 game, I thought it was very, very, very intense. It was like a chess match, and I thought it was very interesting. I was really into that. Okay, but maybe it's just me because I'm a fan, but it's whatever.
That pretty much was it. I would have been asleep just like that game 5 years ago.
But I want to make that statement one last time again. If Alabama goes to LSU and dominates, you know, you have to put them in the conversation. And if they're undefeated, you have to start engaging in that conversation in them in regards to being with the 2001 Miami Hurricane.
But dominate how? You mean like?
Why are we talking about that again?
You mean like, hey, Clausel, you mean like how Miami goes to Florida State in 2001 and dominates 49-27?
Yeah,
like
something
that?
Like that because hey, yeah, exactly
hold on.
Something like that because
what happened in the last
Florida
game
State,
with the Miami
exactly.
team? Did they shut down my Nebraska in the Rose Bowl?
Yes.
And straight up embarrassed them.
Yes.
They embarrassed everybody that year.
They embarrassed everybody. That's how much they dominated that year. So
it wasn't even close.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were like start to finish clear number one team in the country that year. So I mean that's why they say that Miami team is the greatest team, not only in modern era, but probably of all time.
Right, right, right. That's what I'm saying. In Alabama right now, the way they're dominating everybody right now.
After three games, you're ready to compare them to
Dominating who?
Whatever, man. They went to Arkansas and beat some people. That's pretty impressive. Whatever.
Yeah, and before that, they went to Western Kentucky and dominated them, too.
Oh,
you went to Arkansas and dominated them 52-0. That's not impressive, but it's whatever. It's whatever.
Who they played before that?
You got to see more, dog. I mean, they doing anything, but yeah, that's both compared to that, you know, that Miami team, though. And for the record,
For the record, though,
I wouldn't compare Mark Barron to no Sean Taylor, Air Reed. He's nowhere near that class. He's good, but
nobody will make that comparison outside of the Claus Hill Matches household. Nobody will make that comparison.
All right, we're going to
I don't even think Claus Hill believes that. I don't even think he believes that. I think he just lies to himself and us.
He's not even Troy Polamalu either. Forgot about Troy.
Exactly.
All right, we're gonna take a break real quick. All right, and we're gonna take like a 2-3 minute break. I'm putting you on hold. We're gonna take a 2-3 minute break, and we will be back here. We're gonna go with our NFL coverage. You wanna call in 347-237-5539 CMT Firestorm. We'll be right back.
and out and ring. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referee's whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff, in the snow and the mud, they were still real tough, Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Ferry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore, it's them I adore, they seem to always score, Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years, Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear, you have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas had the arm of a Superman, we had Charlie Trippi, and Gino Marquette, if you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback, like Donnie Lou Jack, or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the days.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football. Football.
All right, we are back. CMT Firestorm. If you want to call in, 347-237-5539. Colossal Mathis is your host. We got our panel, Cali Mike, Chi-Town Mike, Tex. Now, a lot of stuff been going on in the NFL this week. And the first thing we want to talk about is sort of an off the cuff talk. The New York Giants versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's something that happened at the end of the game where the Giants came back and beat Tampa, and they were going down for a knee. And, you know, it's just an understanding that both teams were going to concede. I mean, well, Tampa was going to concede that the Giants won the game. And instead of conceding, they went after the ball. When the Giants weren't expecting it. And after the game was over, the two head coaches, Greg Schiano, Tom Coughlin from the Giants, Greg Schiano from the Bucks, they came, shook hands, and Tom Coughlin was angry at Greg Schiano. He's like, we don't do what you just did in this league. And Greg Schiano was like, we play to the whistle. So there was a lot of debate going on between analysts, players, fans, as far as who was right in the matter. And I just want to get what your opinion is on that matter, who was right, who was not right, and why. I'm going to start with you, Chi-Town. What you think?
When I first heard about the play, I was thinking, like, wow, that's kind of dirty, going after the hit, seeing that, just hearing it, because I heard it on the radio at first, but actually seeing it and everything, I mean, hearing it, I mean, I don't have nothing wrong with the play. Like I said, they was trying to go for the ball. So, hey, you play, like you said, you hear you play to the whistle, so, hey. They were going to see, you know, trying to get that ball back and see if they can try to get the win or at least tie the game or something. So, hey, I don't, not mad on the effort. It was clean. It was just trying to go for the ball.
All right, Tex, what you think?
Well, if they so hard on and trying to play to the whistle, why didn't they do it in the first half? Same thing happened at the end of the first half, and they didn't do it. You understand what I'm saying? You can't halfway date somebody. You got to date them all the way. You know what I'm talking about? So while I don't see anything wrong with it, it's not something I would do as a coach, but, you know, don't say we play to the whistle. Don't say we play for 60 minutes, and then at the end of the first half, you're not doing the same thing. You know, I don't buy that. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't have a problem, but you know, really play for 60 minutes like you claim that you do. You know, don't halfway.
All right, Cali, Mike, what you think?
I think that I really don't have a problem with it. You know, it's like I've always had a problem with the way that they do that. You know, the kneel downs, it's like, to me, it's like, well, let's not even take the field then. It's like, if you're going to kneel down the last couple of minutes or whatever, okay.
Hello? Are you there? Mike? Mike, are you there?
I think we might have lost him.
All right, you there?
I was gonna add on the Texas point though. When Tampa Bay, they were leading on the Giants though, so they let that game kind of slip away because I heard they was, you know, they was beating them. I mean, beating you pretty good, and y'all just came back.
Well, my take on the issue is I kind of don't have a problem with it. I like what he did a little bit, but I mean, it's just gonna, you know how this it is in this league. What goes around comes around. So he's gonna feel some sort of hostility. From the rest of the league about this in regards to you know, let's say when his team is not doing well, the other team's not going to let up on him. You know, usually they'll run the ball fourth quarter or something like that, not to try to embarrass you too much, but you may not get that out of a few teams. If he wants to establish this, you know, this sort of new way of playing, which is good. I think I like it. You know, you want to play to the end. You want to try to win. I mean, they were still within 7 to 8 points, so you might as well try to go for the, you know, try to win, but try to catch the team off guard. But, you know, it's just going to come back to haunt him because other teams are not going to be sympathetic towards him when they're beating him, and they're just going to pile up the points on him to make him look bad. So, that's my take on it. Let me see what a caller has to say about that.
Oh, yeah, Mike is back. Mike is back, Clausel.
You wanted to finish what you had to say, Mike?
Where did I cut off at?
You were talking about the part about the Giants and Tampa Bay, the play, you know, where Shiano was trying to go. They was playing to the whistle.
I know that,
Mike.
Okay. No, I mean, I was just saying, like I said, you know, it's a live play. You know, you gotta be ready, you know, for anything on the football field. You know, don't expect, you know, any team to concede to losing. To me, if a team is going to lose, like I say, don't even take the field. You know, if you concede in the last 2 minutes, then let everybody go home early. You know, why even go through the motions? But, you know, if you step on that field, be prepared to be tackled or hit. You know, it's a violent game. It's football. It's physical. You know, it's not, you know, not tiddlywinks.
Exactly.
All right, we'll see what Carl has to say about this. 850.
I would say that I was kind of against the actions of Coach Giano and the Tampa Bay Bucks on that kneel down, pretty much by 2 points. One, which was mentioned already, like you said, they had the ball in the first half and they pretty much kneeled down and they didn't do much on that. And the second thing is, in the week before, they were up 16-10 against the Carolina Panthers, and they pretty much had like about two and a half minutes to go or 2:15 left, and they pretty much kneeled down on that instance when the Panthers had no timeouts, and you didn't see the Carolina Panthers pretty much go after them. So it's like, okay, if they did it against you and Josh Freeman got hurt, what were you going to say then? You know what I mean? So, and on that note, they got to be careful what they wish for because they could get retaliated by another team, and then it's...
I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't understand what retaliation can another team do besides try to get the ball. That's the point of football, is to get the ball. That, to me, like I say, to me, that if they did that last week, that means that other team conceded to lose. I don't want my team to concede to lose. Like I say, if we're going to do that, let's not even take the field. It's, you know, it's a game you're trying to win. That's just like in basketball. You basketball players, they go for the ball until the last second. You know? To me, like I said, it's unnatural. You know, like I said, you might as well not even take the field. Okay, we can kneel down the ball four times. The other team doesn't have timeouts. You know, that's going to take a minute 30 off the field. Quit the game. The game is over then.
Any comments on that, Tex?
What about me? I'm just saying is that, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the game, but you had the same situation in the first half. You know, why didn't you do it in the first half? Are you really playing for 60 minutes? Don't know what Shiano's mode is. you know, it's, I agree with Mike. You always, you don't concede to lose, but I mean, it's the first thing is it's a victory formation. I mean, at that point, the Giants had won. There wasn't enough time. You didn't do this at the end of the first half, so we're doing it now.
Okay, well, let me pose it like this real quick. Cause let's say if the team lines up to kneel the ball, and Eli, they would have fumbled the handoff. But since Bucks wasn't ready to go get the ball, the Giants would have been able to recover the ball and down it. Then what everybody been saying?
I'm sorry, your phone was static. Say that one more time.
I said let's say if Eli Manning would have fumbled the center quarterback handoff and the Bucks weren't ready to go and get the ball and the Giants would have scooped up the ball and downed it and the clock ran out, then what would everybody have been saying?
They would have been saying that was a good play.
No, they would have been saying the Bucks should have been prepared. Somebody should have jumped their butt on that ball. Because it's football. You got to go for the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But why didn't they do it in the first half though? When the Giants ran the clock dry.
Maybe they weren't desperate. Maybe they weren't in a desperate mode. Like I said, I don't know what Shiano's motive. You know, like you said, I don't know what his motives are. Maybe they weren't in a desperate mode. Then you know, desperate times. You know, you get desperate. I mean, it's only a one in a million chance that a D lineman will probably squeeze his butt through and knock the ball out anyway. But you gotta take it. That's like, you know, getting the ball, like I said, in basketball, you get the ball on the other end of the court at the last second, you're still going to take that last second heat and try to make it, even though you know, nobody, you know, you're not going to make the full court shot, you're still going to take it. You still throw up Hail Mary.
Mike is right, okay. Yeah. I see what Mike and Jamal are saying, but, like, I agree. Maybe like what Mike was saying, there was a desperate mode. The game was pretty much about to be over, so, I mean, to the end. So, either they do something or they're going to lose the game. So, hey, they had to do what they had to do.
All right. So, let's go to the next topic. I'm put you back on hold, James. All
right.
The Saints, they're 0-2. New Orleans Saints are 0-2. Now, do you think they still have a shot to win the division, to get to the playoffs? Or do you think this whole bounty gate, and not having their head coach is going to affect them throughout the season. I want to know what your opinion is. Cali, Mike, what you have to think? What you have to say?
It's affecting them. I mean, they had other things affect them, though, besides just this, you know, the bounty gate thing. But, you know, like I said, when you lose your head coach, it does affect you. You know, that's a definite. But, you know, on the other hand, it's, you know, you can't, you know, I mean, you look at the games they played, you know, they played quarterbacks that, you know, maybe they weren't really matched up to play. You know, RG3, his first game, you know, he had an awesome game. You know, and last game they played against Cam Newton. So, you know, coming up they got Kansas City. Now, if they lose this Kansas City game, there's problems. You know, but other than that, man, you know, like I said, it's, you know, like, not, to me it's not really the same team it was last year. You know, you lost a couple pieces, you lost Robert Meacham, you know, Jonathan Vilma's injured. You know, it's not, you know. So, I mean, I gotta, you know, like I said, I gotta see, you know, a couple more games to really see who they really are. I can't, you know, 0-2 isn't gonna, you know, it's not gonna scare me too much, off the chain.
All right, Tex, what you think?
Still think the Saints can win the division. I don't see why not. Yeah, you still have Drew Brees as your quarterback. Still have your offense. You might not have your coach, but the offensive coordinator and Brees have been together for 11 years, so you got a lot of familiarity and some continuity there. I don't think the Saints losing these two games is much more than a defense trying to find its way a little bit. Got a few new pieces. As soon as the D gets together a little bit, I think the Saints will be okay. I mean, they scored 32 against Washington, who has an all right defense. You put up 27. I mean, they're putting up enough points to win. It's just a defensive issue. Now, the offense hasn't been as sharp as they have in the past that you're used to seeing from New Orleans, but when the D comes around, New Orleans will be fine. I don't think it's too big of a problem. It is still early. They got Kansas City coming up. Maybe they can right the ship. I think this Kansas City game will tell you a lot about what New Orleans is and what their problems are, if there are indeed any serious problems. But, yeah, Drew Brees is a quarterback. Carmichael is the offensive coordinator. Of course they can win the division. Wouldn't count the Saints out just yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shatown, what you think?
Like I said, I agree with Tex. It's still early. It's only been 2 weeks. You know, they still got Drew Brees. You know, but I think seeing the two games, I think their defense really is kind of still not there yet. You know, I know Will Smith, I don't think, was in that game, or is he coming back or not. Hopefully he'll be back soon, you know. So, you know, not having Vilma, where they hardened, you know, leaders of their defense. So I just think it's mostly their defense. And they did lose some guys in free agency as well on the defense side of the ball. I don't think losing Robert Meacham is a big loss on their offense. I would say, yeah, losing Carl Nix or their offensive line was a big loss in losing Meacham. But I still say, you know, when we had the show a few weeks ago, on the last two weeks ago show, I said the Saints was going to win the NFC South, and I'm still sticking to it because they still got Drew Brees. So, I mean, it's still early. It's a long season. They just going through, you know, everybody go through adversity, so they just going through their own adversity in the month of September. So they'd be all right.
Well, I don't think they'll be all right. I got Atlanta winning the division now. Julio Jones obviously going to be a top five receiver, NFL top five receiver. And it's just, I think just something's just not right there, you know. I don't know what it is. It'll be exposed by the end of this year, probably about mid-year or whatnot. They may win the game against Kansas City. I think they'll probably win that game. But in regards to them making the playoffs, I don't see it happening. I just see this as Atlanta's division to lose now. There was something that happened just recently.
Excuse me, Carl. Can I say one more thing about the Saints?
Oh, yeah. Say one more thing. Yeah.
Looking at the Saints, I wanted to say this earlier. I forgot. One of the glaring weaknesses is their weak running game. It's putrid.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
They drafted this running back a couple of years last year, and I'm looking at his stats here, and he stinks. His name's Mark Ingram. And I believe he won a fake Heisman, and he went to some school in Tuscaloosa. But right now he's averaging 3.1 yards a carry, and he stinks. So I think that has a lot to do with him being good.
Mike, he also is Alabama's first Heisman Trophy winner, too.
Wow.
Wow, okay. Well, hey, I mean, you know, Sean Alexander and Trent Richardson had a 100-yard game this weekend, but I guess all the running backs for Alabama is not that good. But it's okay.
Sean Alexander had a 100-yard game this weekend?
Hey, you know, it's whatever. I mean, he's going to have to take a little time.
Alexander doesn't play football no more. What are you talking about?
What'd you say?
You said Sean Alexander had a 100-yard game this weekend?
Mark Ingram's going to have to take – it's going to take some time for him to get in the fold. I don't know what the situation is with him. I mean, he could have the same situation. He could have the same issue that Reggie Bush had when he went there. Maybe it's just something.
Reggie Bush is the second leader rusher in the NFL right now.
No, but when he came to the Saints, when he first got there to the Saints, he was not doing that. So you just don't even go there. You know that, all right? They thought
When he first came to the Saints, he had 700 yards receiving and 500 yards rushing in his first year. And that's splitting carries with Deuce McAllister.
Yeah, but Reggie Bush was not Reggie Bush when he first came to the USC. I mean, the New Orleans Saints his first year, and you know that now. They thought he was going to come in and make an immediate impact. He did not make a great immediate impact when he first got to the Saints, and you know that.
He has 700 yards receiving. Well, first of all, Reggie Bush is a Super Bowl champion too, but I'm not even going to worry about that because Mark Ingram is taking.
What does that mean? Robert Ory is a world. Oh, come on, I don't even go with that.
Reggie Bush wasn't an integral part of them winning the Super Bowl.
Whatever, man. Let's go to the playoff call here. 850.
Hey, y'all wildin' for real, though. But on the point of the Saints, Even though it's like early in the season, I mean, they still have to play the Falcons twice. Still got a few division games left, so they have a chance to right the ship. But right now, the Falcons are looking like the best team in the division, and I'd say the Saints would be really concerned if they lose this game to the Chiefs, because, like, over the past couple of weeks, I said that the Chiefs have pretty much been the worst team in the NFL right now. So they have a chance to, like, get to 1-2, but after that, it's still a wait-and-see approach. It's still early in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they'll beat the – I think, like I said, I think they're going to beat the Chiefs, but I just have an Atlanta's division to lose. I mean, when you have Matt Ryan, Roddy Wright, Julio Jones, who's going to emerge as a top-five receiver, like I said.
Hey, Julio Jones better be top-five. You're on my fantasy team, for real. But anyway, you need to really, like, hold off with all these Alabama players, man. For real, man. I thought
man, you were objective, thank you.
Bro.
All right, whatever. All right, I want to go to this next topic here. Put you back on hold. The Jeremiah Finley from the Green Bay Packers. His agent came out with a statement on Twitter about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if y'all have heard this story yet.
Yeah, I heard about it.
He mentioned that Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, but he's not a good leader. And he always casts blame and doesn't look at himself, and paraphrasing it. And the question is, do you think that tweet being made public all over media is going to cause a distraction in the locker room in Green Bay? What's your opinions on that? Callie, Mike, why don't you start first?
I think that the only reason that we even know who Jermichael Finley is and that he has an agent is because of Aaron Rodgers. So he needs to chill back and realize who he's talking about. He's talking about his quarterback, who's one of the top players in the league. And, you know, like I say, it's, you know, Jermichael Finley, like I say, without Aaron Rodgers, there is no Jermichael Finley. So he doesn't need to be making
statements. This was his agent who said this. This is when Jermichael Finley.
Exactly. His agent is the one who gets the money, so he really needs to shut up.
Jermichael Finley needs to find a new agent.
Exactly. Because if Aaron Rodgers get injured today, if Aaron Rodgers leave Green Bay, Jermichael Finley is not making no Pro Bowls or doing anything anymore.
Michael Finley not going to get paid. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, right?
I don't know. What's your opinion on it, Tex?
I've never heard of his agent before. What is he talking about? The first things first is your quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be. Well, he called him out for not being a leader. Well, the quarterback doesn't really have to be the leader, because the quarterback doesn't make you the leader of the team, first of all. You understand what I'm saying? Green Bay, when they pick captains, they have their own little unique system anyway. But if Rodgers is directing players and demanding the best out of the guys he plays with, I don't see what the problem is. The guy's an established quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Has won a Super Bowl, he's earned the right to call guys out and demand perfection. No different than a Peyton Manning or a Ben Roethlisberger or a Tom Brady or Drew Brees. So I don't understand. Go ahead.
I understand where you're coming from, but if you're the boss, I mean, I understand. It's kind of like, and we can piggyback into the Jay Cutler situation. Like, when you have a situation like they're kind of similar. When you have a situation like, for example, Jay Cutler and Webb in Chicago, you know, Jay Cutler's yelling at the guy in front of everybody else. I understand, you know, Jay Cutler he's on the higher end of the totem pole than Webb was, or like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the higher end of the totem pole than Finley. But, you know, it comes to a point, it's like you're going to need these guys
when a quarterback is yelling at the player like that, the rest of the team looks at you and, like, it's like, you know, I mean, are you going to have their back type of thing? You know, it's like if the boss treats the employee, if the employee see the boss treat one of the employees like crap, you know, it's like the rest of the employees are like, I don't really like that boss that much. He's kind of a, you know, an a-hole or whatnot. And, you know, I'm not going to speak highly of my boss at some point when the going gets tough on my boss. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, if you're Cutler, I mean, and the thing with that was bumping Jamarcus Webb. Now, he comes up to me and he bumps me like that, I'm going to hit him. We're going to be in a fight. That's the thing with Cutler. Another thing with him is he hasn't earned his stripes. He hasn't won anything. So the thing is, you know, who is this guy to be trying to, you know, call players out and bump them? And, you know, after he's always trying to blame everybody else except for himself. You know, he's never responsible for his actions on the field. You understand what I'm saying? It goes back to what I say. Because a guy is a quarterback doesn't make him a leader. The situation is different with Aaron Rodgers. He's earned the right to tell guys, hey, get your ass in gear. You understand what I'm saying? He has his stripes. You know, it's not.
What I'm saying is,
it's not. What were you about to say?
Well, what I'm saying is, okay, you say he's earned his stripes based on the fact he won a Super Bowl or the fact he was an MVP of the league. But
and
he's won games,
and his performance has gotten better each year he's been in the league. He's raised his play every single year he's been a starter in the NFL.
He's game better.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. Okay. That's fair.
Yep. I was going to say also, I mean, you know, if Finley, we don't know if Finley said this or not, let's just say if he did or not, Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl without Jermichael Finley. Jermichael Finley was on IR the year they won the Super Bowl, so. I mean, the man, you know, delivered the Packers another Super Bowl. He was a Super Bowl MVP, league MVP. I mean, so, I mean,
I'm looking up the quote that this cat, his agent, put on here. This dude is a clown. His next statement after he talked about Aaron Rodgers was saying that Michael Jordan was a horrible teammate, a horrible leader as well. So, like I say, the credibility of his agent has just gone south. And
yeah, but
so
I think with Michael Jordan had a longer resume than Aaron Rodgers had, even though, like you said, you're right, Tex.
But he
Aaron
said
Rodgers
he's a terrible
elevated
teammate and a leader, too. So his judgment of who the leader is, maybe he thinks Jermichael Finley's the leader of the team. I don't know. But like I said, his judgment
well, no,
of who
I mean,
leader
I
is.
I think Aaron, but the point is that the vibe that he's coming off is Aaron Rodgers is sort of a diva. You know, he's sort of he's sort of arrogant. You know, I mean, which is it's not too bad. You know, obviously, if you're a good player, you have some sort of confidence, you have some sort of aura to you, but it sort of rubs off the wrong way on his teammates. You know, like
I've never
Deion
seen that.
Sanders
I've never seen that
old
of Aaron Rodgers. I've never seen that.
Yeah, you've never seen that publicly.
No, I've never even heard of it. I've never even heard of that before this.
Well, you start,
it starts
to expose itself. That's the point.
Me
I'm saying.
Too.
It starts to expose itself.
But I was gonna say if he is though. I mean, his play does the talking. I mean, the man backs it up though. He put up the numbers.
Aaron,
he won the Super Bowl.
I understand
what you're saying. But what I'm saying is, when the bat, you know, when you know how it is in this league, you're gonna be good for a while, and there's gonna be some years. You're not gonna get to the Super Bowl. We know that. So when those bad times come for you, are his teammates gonna have his back? That's just the point I'm saying, because the media is going to come after him.
Is his teammate
going to have his back? What'd you say?
If they're teammates, they should. They're his teammates. They're played to play football. They're not out there having fun kicking it. This ain't a social game. This is a pay for play. You know,
yeah.
I mean, right,
well,
to me, like I say, to be Jermichael Finley's agent sounds like a hater. You know, like I say, Aaron Rodgers, he's a blue collar dude. This is a dude who came from a JC. Went to Cal, turned Cal into a power, you know, was passed up on draft day. Huh?
Nothing. You said turn him into a power. I was like, what? Well, that's another conversation itself. All right.
Cal was
I'll
a
say
power player. You know that, right, Clauso?
Yeah, I know.
You know Cal was a top five team when Rodgers was there, right?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Okay, because you don't watch college football. But anyway, like I said, he sat in the green room, you know, for 3 hours on draft day. He was passed up. You know, he came, sat behind Brett Favre. I mean, where does that say he's at? This is a dude, he worked his way up, and, you know, now he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
And to say this, though, at the end of the day, people might say he might be better than Brett Favre. You didn't hear it from me. Anyway, off the field, what he was saying, they had said this comment last week about Greg Jennings. I had read and said it that he don't think that Greg Jennings might not be back with the Packers next year because they all got, you know, we got Clay Matthews that's coming up. We know he's going to get big bucks. And also, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid. He probably going to be, when all said and done, you know, he's going to be probably the highest paid player in the NFL, you know. So he was talking about the possibility he don't think Greg Jennings is going to be back next year because, you know, Greg Jennings is a free agent. You know how the Packers' way is. They move on, you know, and they find, you know, doing their draft system of finding players or undrafted guys, and they just don't miss a beat.
Yeah, Greg Jennings, like I say, whether he comes back or not, the Packers ain't had a marquee wide receiver since Sterling Sharp. So, you know, they're almost like the Patriots in the way that they can plug in different wide receivers and usually have them be productive.
Until Donald Driver came around. I mean, Donald Driver, I mean, the numbers he put on, even though he's probably a guy people
he wasn't a star, but he was there.
Yeah.
He wasn't no star, though. He was good because he was there. He wasn't no star. The last star wide receiver they had was Sterling Sharp, and that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
All right, let me see what this call has to say. 850.
All right. I'd say that agent was out of line in making that comment in reference to Aaron Rodgers not being a leader. Mainly because the points that have been mentioned before, number one, if he wasn't much of a leader, then the Packers wouldn't have drafted him to succeed Brett Favre on one instance. And the other instance is he's earned the stripes as the NFL MVP last year and the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, you don't get those accolades and not be considered a leader. It just doesn't match up.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
That's the point. I agree.
Well, let me. I'm gonna keep you on hold. I'm gonna keep you on line here, James. We can go to the next topic real quick. Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. They didn't win the game on Monday against Atlanta. Is this a sign that maybe the Denver Broncos will not be as good as we thought they were? Even with Peyton Manning on their team, I'm gonna start with Tex. What do you have to say?
I think folks are reading too much into this. It's a cross country trip going to Atlanta. What Matt Ryan is 29-4, 30-4 his career in Atlanta. So they don't lose at home anyway. Everybody knows that. It's just, you know. Falcons did a good job. You go back and you look at the game, and you see that not only were they rotating safeties in coverage, but the cornerbacks were also rolling in the middle of the play. So, you know, it's a little gambit that you use at times to try to bottle up these great quarterbacks, and it worked for Atlanta. But once he got the defense down, then he kind of went to work on Atlanta. You know, it's just, you know, these quarterbacks, you know, they have bad games. I don't think it's a sign of anything. I still think Denver is a contender. I think they win the division. I don't think it's going to be a huge problem. You're going to see them rebound against the Texans here up there in Denver this coming Sunday. But I keep hearing about Peyton Manning has problems with his arm strength. That's a lie. 29-35 for 350-some yards and 3 touchdowns throwing outside the hash marks. Arm strength is there.
Even if they had to bring in the quarterback at the end of the game to maybe throw in Hail Mary?
I think we're making too much of a big deal about that. I mean, it's how many of the top quarterbacks in the league just – I mean, first off, arm strength is overrated anyway. It's one of the most overrated things in overrated attributes in a quarterback in football. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, Osweiler 6'7". I mean, it's much ado about nothing. You know, now it's different if we're talking about, okay, maybe we need to start Osweiler. But it's a Hail Mary pass. I mean, you know, I think folks choose to make a big deal out of whatever. But, again, there's no problem. Peyton Manning will be fine. The Broncos will be fine. It's a new team. Sat out a whole year. As soon as they get it together, they'll be all right. Got a young team, so later on they're going to be pretty good. No problem.
All right, Callie, man, what you think?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I totally disagree with Tex. I think Peyton Manning stinks. They ought to cut him, and also I think they should take away his NFL stats. And take away his MVPs too, and all his money and his wife. So,
he sucks.
Yeah. Hey. Hopefully, though, if they cut him, he gets signed to the Raiders. You know, because they can use his help. I mean, people are so overreacting over one game. It's like the first game he was back and everybody was happy and it was Peyton. Now you know that they expect him to go 16-0 almost. You know, everybody loves the. You know, the good story. But, you know, now they lose one game. Is there trouble in Denver? What's going on? This and that. And Brock Osweiler came in to bring in the game. Like I say, I watched Shaq put up 40 points in a basketball game, and at the end of the game, they take him out and put in Samaje Walker, you know, because they know that they're going to foul Shaq and he can't shoot free throws. So does that mean that Shaq ain't good? You know what I mean? Just because Osweiler can't, it's a situational move. You know, Osweiler's 6'7", and got an arm where he can throw 80, 90 yards. You know, like I say, maybe Peyton Manning can't throw 80 yards no more. Maybe he can. I don't know. But they didn't have him in there doing it. So the fact that he was even in that situation, you know, like I say, it means that there's more problems than Peyton Manning. So, you know, for everybody, you know, to try to, you know, like I say, and plus, you know, like they're playing Atlanta, you know, and Atlanta's good. You know, they're a good team. So, you know, it's too much. You know, sometimes the media can jump on something too much. It's, you know, like I say, it's one game. I mean, you know, three or four games and there's problems. Maybe I might start, you know, opening up my eyes and looking at it. But, you know, it's game two of the season, so it's too early to start saying that.
Yeah, and also Atlanta, they're a good, you know, home team. So, you know, they do well since when Matt Ryan's been there. And like the guys were saying, you know, Peyton Manning been gone football for a whole year. So, I mean, this is his second game back being out of football for a whole year. So, I mean, it was a bumpy ride. I mean, he had a bad start. You know, he threw – you know, the three interceptions, but, hey, you know, they came back. And even with all that, they still almost had a chance to win the game, you know. It just didn't make that big play at the end for them to get the ball to get another shot. But, you know, it shows a lot, though, man. I think he definitely going to bounce back and have, you know, his better games. And I still say Denver is going to make the playoffs. I have them making the playoffs and being the wild card.
All right, James, what you think about that?
As a wild card, I only see Denver winning the division. I don't see the Chargers or any other team in that division making a wild card. In reference to the game in general, I think it was more of Atlanta disguising their blitz packages and their coverages that pretty much confused Peyton Manning at the beginning. And he was able to adjust to that. Going near the end of the game. So, I mean, he was able to adjust. He's still rusty. I mean, you're out for, like, how many months? He was out, like, 16 months plus without taking a snap in the regular season of playoffs. So he still has time to make his adjustments. And in reference to his performance over the season, I think they're putting the spotlight on him, not just because he's Peyton Manning, but because he's succeeding Tim Tebow. And you all know the media frenzy they had there last year with Tim Tebow, and he led them to the playoffs, and he was able to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and everything like that. But in comparison, the Denver Broncos schedule this year is tougher than it was last year. So you got to put those things into account when you're kind of critiquing Peyton Manning's performance over this season.
Yeah, you just now cursed, man, because now we're going to start hearing this. I didn't even think about those comparisons. Now we're going to hear about is Manning even better than Tebow? I didn't even think about that. I hope the media don't start jumping on that because that's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to do that. They're going to do that. Trust me, they're going to do that. They're going to try their best to keep Tim Tebow relevant in the National Football League by any means necessary.
I want to tell you, check this out. It says the Jets lose because they play. Who the Jets play? I know they're not favored to win this coming weekend. I forgot who they play. Let's say the Jets lose again. Then you might start hearing rumbles about Tim Tebow. So the Jets put Tim Tebow in as their starting quarterback.
And they won't win.
Yeah, they won't win.
All right. Well, hold up. Real quick, I want to get this is going to be the last question, and it's real quick before everyone has their 2 minute sessions. Who are the top three teams in the league right now? I'm going to start with Mike. Who you have as the top three teams in the league right now, based on what you've seen?
You talking to Shytown or me? Shytown. Yeah. I think, right now, I say, we all know NFL how season goes, but for right now, yeah, San Francisco, is playing pretty good ball. I say right now that they're the best for number one. And right now, the second team, I'd probably say, which I'm not surprised because, I have them winning the AFC Championship is the Houston Texans. And that's pretty much it. Everything else is just, hey, any given Sunday, still, saying more football needs to be played. So I'm not ready to crown saying who's the best teams right now, but just as of right now, that's playing.
You said San Francisco and the Texans?
Yes.
And then after that, it's sort of like a toss-up.
Need to see more football, still early. So we can
All right. Tex, who you got?
I'd probably say the 49ers, Texans, and while I think the Falcons are pretty good, I wouldn't take the Packers over them. I wouldn't take the Patriots over the Packers. Wouldn't take the Ravens over the Packers. I wouldn't take the Eagles over the Packers. So I'm going to say Packers, Texans, and 49ers.
Okay. Cali Mike, who you got?
Number one, I'll choose the San Francisco 49ers. Offense and defense is looking good. Frank Gore, I don't know. He must have drunk the Super Soldier formula or something because he's looking rejuvenated this year. I got them. I got I'm going to go ahead and take the Texans, too. I'm going to go ahead and match right up with Texas. And then even though, the Pack lost, you still got to go with the Packers. That defense, is looking good. Rodgers, I know they, it's only 1-1. So, like I said, it's early enough for, early enough. But, I got to go ahead and go with the Pack.
I did say this on the show of the, of the premiere of the NFL season when we had the predictions, was saying this. I was saying Clay Matthews, going to be the defensive player of the year. Right now, the way he's playing, it's like it's going to happen.
Yeah. Clay Matthews, by the way, went to a large metropolitan school somewhere in Southern California.
Oh, my God. And also,
he was a walk-on, too. He didn't even have a full scholarship.
Let me
the talent level of this school.
Yeah. Let me get James real quick. James, who you got? Top three players, team.
Oh, man. I go unanimous with number one, the 49ers. They pretty much impressed the first two games against the Packers and Lions. Second, I would go with the Texans, but the thing is that the Dolphins and the Jaguars for the first two games?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were their first two games, right, for the Texans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with those two in comparison to, a team like the Ravens who played the Bengals and the Eagles, I can't really gauge them right now unless if, they're playing a tough team. So I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to put him up there. And third, I'd say right now the Atlanta Falcons. I think they've been impressive on offense, and their defense has improved from last year. So I'm going to put the Falcons at number three. But it's early in the season, so, of course, they could change like in a heartbeat.
All right. Well, thank you, James. I gotta put you on hold here. We're about to end the show here.
Right.
Well, this is a time where we're really short on time right now, so I'm gonna give everybody a minute and a half to say their piece. I'm gonna start with Tex. What you got? Minute and a half.
What I have to say is USC. To me, they're still the top 6-7 team. Even though they lost to Stanford, just because you lose a game doesn't mean you're number 13, 14, or 15 in the nation. All right. Florida, again, sleeper team. They just need to keep getting better. I don't think they can go and beat LSU regardless of where they play them, I don't think they can beat LSU, but they're a team with upside. The quarterback keeps getting better with what he does every week, making his reads. The defense is a defense. The running back is explosive. Clearly, these guys, you have to play them for 60 minutes because when they go in at halftime, they come out with adjustments and they come out firing. Two times in a row now. Niners, best team in the NFL. Texans, maybe really under the radar, might be just as good as the 49ers in some respects. Packers, third best team. That's all I got.
All right, man. Mike, Shotown, who you got? What you got?
Well, it was a solid week of college football. I guess, I agree with Texas, one game. It's a long season, and that loss happened in September. And just looking forward for another good weekend in college football and NFL. Seeing my team rebound back, see some more action, still a long season in NFL. And also, still out of rest in peace to, Nick Sable, NFL fans who passed away from brain cancer yesterday. Revolutionized, the way we view watching football inside the game and all that. So he's one of a million about that. So, and that's about it. Oh, yeah, I also want to wish, a happy birthday to my niece, Naja, and nephew, Elijah, today. Happy birthday from your Uncle Mike.
All right. Callie, what you got?
Okay. I just want to say college football is interesting this week. Yeah, we saw USC lose. I know Clausel must have had a full baby born out of him from that game. I've been really surprised by the play of the Seattle Seahawks. I want to see this Monday night game, Seahawks versus Green Bay. This is going to be a good game. Russell Wilson, somebody can play QB. You got Pete Carroll, got that defense up there looking good. So who knows? Seattle might, do a little something. Me and Tex talked about this weekend, University of Colorado, what is going on over there? And I'm thinking maybe this is something we can expand on next week about programs on the decline, because this is a program, 20 years ago was a national championship winner, 10 years ago was a, Big 12 champion, and now they're getting beat by, D2 schools, and it's ugly. I don't know what's going on. Maybe, like I said, we can talk more about that next week. But that's it for me.
All right. I just want to say USC is overrated. I mean, let's just face the fact. They just have very good skill position players. I think their running backs are overrated. But in terms of quarterback, receivers, they're very good there. But in terms of the offensive and defensive line, they're overrated. They're not going to win all their games in the Pac-10. The Pac-10 is obviously the second best conference in the country right now. They underestimated the rest of the competition. The Florida Gators, I think they're borderline back. I think they may go undefeated until they play Florida State. There's a high chance of that. We'll see what happens when they play LSU. Very interesting to see what happens. Best team in the league, San Francisco 49ers, clearly. Houston Texans. Then the third team, Atlanta Falcons. Julio Jones, top five receiver. You know what it is. That's all I have to say. Alabama, closest thing to the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. And that's all I have to say. So, DMT Firestorm, listen to us, Block Talk Radio. If you have anything to say, chat, give us criticism. We'll be here next week, 8:30, same time, same place. See you later. Peace, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Did you not get accepted to USC or something like that? Is that why you hate them?
USC and Bama talk, man.
Did Reggie Bush steal your girlfriend or something? What happened?
Hey, Alabama
like
close to 2001 Miami, but they still 3,000 miles off, right?
Exactly. Alabama,
they're not even 2009 Alabama.
Hey, Alabama going to take care of business to win the championship. Is Alabama going to win the championship?
Absolutely. Oh, no, I think...
Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the days.